Hello again. Welcome back, or just welcome. Thanks for tuning in, or stumbling into, or whatever got you here. So the last episode, I talked about hating myself and wanting to fix it, and some possible reasons for why. And you see, the thing is I haven't always had the most carefree life. My mom used to call me a worrywart because I worried about literally everything, including money. When we would go to the store, I would ask if we could afford things. So we weren't like doing great, but you know, we had a roof over our head. With some powdered milk. We had our Pop-Tart cereal we got from Salvation Army. The mac and cheese that, you know, sometimes you had to throw out because there were mites in it. And you only found out once, you know, you poured it into the water, which... I always wonder, like, could we just, like, pick around them? But that's... In retrospect, it's a little gross. But... A lot of my worrying stemmed from my mother. She was not the most stable. There were a lot of highs and lows, and just when you thought things might be okay, they weren't. This is not to blame my mother for me hating myself. She just happens to be a character in this story, and a pretty pivotal character up until about 13, and then, you know, some background stuff, and she makes a few guest appearances here and there, but, you know, you always want to see the flashback before you see the present, so... That's what she is. My mother is my exposition. So when I was 3, or no, possibly 2, I recall opening the fridge, my mother telling me, "Be careful. There's a bottle, it'll fall on you." And I did it anyway. I opened the fridge, and sure enough, the bottle fell out and it hit my foot, and I started crying, and she ran over and yelled at me. Said, "I told you not to do that." I also remember, maybe it was later in the day or a different day, talking to my grandparents on the phone, and it was 4th of July, and they were in California, we were in Illinois, and they were watching fireworks. And they asked if I had been watching fireworks, and I don't think we had, but I just remember being really excited to talk to them. And then I remember... the whole spiel of me sitting on the bed with the chocolate milk and the chili cheese Fritos in the back of the car on the floorboard. So when we got to Southern California, we were living in a place called Casa Colina in Cathedral City, and it was not a great place. Holy fucking shit. How the hell did we live there? We lived in a one-bedroom apartment. Not even. It was a studio. And the bed was over in the corner. And my sister and I would take turns sleeping in the bed with my mom. One of us would sleep on the couch. The other would sleep with my mom. And we finally moved into another apartment in Casa Colina. This one was a little bit nicer, but the problem with all of these apartments was they were basically roach infested. So you'd wake up in the middle of the night to get a drink of water, roach. Or there was one time I was in my grandparents' bathroom and a fucking roach ran across my foot. That was terrifying. Ugh, I don't even... Ugh. And the thing is these weren't like regular roaches. These were like date tree beetles or whatever they're called. Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. Ugh, they're like long, they fly, they're terrifying. Date bugs, I think they're called date bugs. The worst. Anyway, so that's what we were living in. And my mom was always trying to like date people, you know, a divorced woman who'd married at 18 and left when she was 26. She was young. She's going to nursing school. She had like her nursing uniform that was like white and her fucking feathered hair that was always like in a ponytail. So she met a student in nursing school and they hit it off. We didn't know him that well. We just knew that she had been coming and going. I had been to a few parties with my mom too. Not like party parties, but a friend's house, quote unquote, where I would be told to watch a movie or just TV and to not come out no matter what. It happened when my mom dated this like weird looking guy, like typical run-of-the-mill, like, 90s sleazeball, like, mustache, balding in the back with, like, the swept-over brown feathered hair. She dated him. Oh, God. We had to watch The Wizard of Oz while she went into the bedroom with him. What the fuck, man? Okay, so anyway, moving on, she meets this guy, they're dating, my dad comes all the way from Illinois, he wants to get back together with her, he wants to work things out. She gets wasted on Christmas Eve, her boyfriend's there, my dad's there, she's wasted, she threw up, the toilet fell on her head, or the toilet lid, then she's like throwing Christmas bulbs at the wall and she's like screaming and it's intense. And so my sister and I run over to our grandparents' house and, you know, then I don't really recall what happened, but, you know, my dad obviously went back to Illinois, my mom stayed with her boyfriend, yada yada yada. He moves in and my older sister just tends to rebel, which you do. They would always fight, my mom and her boyfriend, like hardcore fight. Like she would be screaming at the top of her lungs, call the police, call the police, he's choking me, he's hurting me. And I would run down the hall and like try to open the door and it would be locked. And so I'd be banging on it, screaming. And then I would just, once the door opened, I'd run in and start hitting him really hard, threatening to call the police. My mom's crying. He's like, oh, we're just playing. We're just wrestling. That's all. And me not knowing whether or not to believe him because he's an adult. And you're supposed to believe adults. The whole thing was just totally fucked. I think it was like weeks later, she screams again, but this time it's because he's down on one knee proposing to her, and she fucking says yes! Are you shitting me with this? Yeah, perfect environment to keep your kids in. Jesus. So, they're engaged. Why? I don't know. Shit starts to go awry. You know, I do something wrong, I'm told to go stand in the corner. For anybody who doesn't know what it means to stand in a corner, you literally just go and stand with your nose to the corner. And you can't move for like whatever amount of time. Typically it's like 5 minutes, but I don't know how long I was standing there, but it was enough that I didn't want to keep standing. So I went to sit down. He comes over, pulls me up by my hair, and then yells in my face that I am not to sit down, to keep standing in that corner. And then there was also a time my sister and I got into an epic fight because what you see is what you do, and we saw it was okay, so why not beat the shit out of each other? Also, that's what siblings do. But, like, this is pretty violent. So, I was sleeping in the living room because I didn't want to be around her. And he told me to get up one morning, and I didn't get up right away. And once again, he pulls me up out of my little makeshift bed in the living room, up by my hair, screaming in my face. I just remember being terrified and confused and there's like a part of you that just starts to float away where you disassociate yourself with the situation. This man would call me Miss Piggy constantly. He would tell me about affairs that he was having. One time he was holding a matchbook, and my mom had just walked out, and he said something to the effect of, "Do you see this? Do you know where I got it?" And I said, "No." And he said, "I got it from my girlfriend. She's a dancer. And she is so much better looking than your mom." And I remember just nodding and saying, "Okay. Sure, yeah." Being agreeable. What do you say in that moment? There's nothing you can't say. So this fucker is in my life for like 12 years. And he's constantly talking down to me, talking down to my mom. My sister and him don't get along. My sister's rebelling. She sneaks out. She gets arrested. I find ways to be sick, to not have to stay at school all day. And I almost flunk out of 7th grade, which seems ludicrous to me. And I loved reading. I just didn't want to be at school. I just wanted to be in my room and watch MTV and VH1 and not think about life. So I think that's a good starting point for some of these deep-rooted issues. And maybe a contributing factor, just like a portion of why I could hate myself. And I think that I've held on to this for so long, in the same way that I've held on to my anxiety, is that it's like having a life raft and you think you're in deep water when really your feet can touch the bottom, but you still have it there. Because what if the bottom isn't there? Or what if the bottom's there and then it suddenly falls out? Because that's just, you still need the life raft just in case. And so I think I've been holding on to what I thought was a life raft, but it's just been keeping me out waiting in water. And it's that notion of sink or swim. Sink, swim, or just walk back up onto the fucking shore. Why doesn't anybody ever do that? That's what I'm trying to do with this. Let's come full circle. Why the fuck are we here? Because I just want us all to be able to walk to the fucking shore together. And by all of us, I mean like maybe one person who happens to stumble upon this, or to the friend that I will definitely be sending the link of this episode to. So I think we've had a good chat. I've enjoyed this. This has been very enlightening for me. I don't know about for you, but if you've made it this far, congratulations. I hope that you have an awesome day tomorrow. I hope that you wake up excited and ready to start your day. I hope that you, even if you don't feel any of those things and you wake up feeling whatever, that's okay too. But I hope that you can find one little thing that makes you happy and hold on to that. And, you know, other stuff. So, thanks for joining. And until next time, I'll talk to you.